I'd invite you to take your Bibles to the book of Zechariah chapter 3. I would like for us to just bask in the knowledge of His grace towards us and His work in providing the garments from ruin to righteousness. That's the title of our message this evening. Just a brief message, probably a devotional, I guess we could call it, but it's from the garments of ruin to the garments of righteousness. In Zechariah chapter 3, you'll notice the name Joshua, but it doesn't stop there. It says Joshua the high priest. The Joshua that is mentioned in Zechariah is obviously a different person from the Joshua whose name is used as the title of the biblical book of Joshua. We've preached on Joshua, who was the assistant to Moses and led Israel across the Jordan River to their conquest of the Promised Land, approximately 1400 BC. But this Joshua mentioned in Zechariah chapter 3 is Joshua, the high priest, who returned with Zerubbabel from Babylon to restore the temple. And Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 7 speaks of that. The prophet Haggai also refers to the high priest Joshua in chapter 1 of that book. But as the first high priest in the rebuilt Jerusalem, Joshua played a very, very significant role as a precursor to Ezra, who came to Jerusalem during the second wave of returning exiles. Joshua, notice here, is standing before the angel, better translated and understood as messenger of the Lord. And we've divided this portion of Scripture, if you'd like to have just a brief outline. I want you to notice the position of the high priest in the first part of verse 1. And then we're going to see not only the position of the high priest, but opposition. There's opposition from Satan in the latter part of verse 1. And then there's the intervention of the Lord in verses 2 through 5, and where would we be without that? And then we're going to note the exhortation that is given to Joshua in verses 6 and 7. So let's take a look at the position of the high priest. It said, "He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord." The angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ. Many cults get off on the concept of angel, but keep in mind that the Hebrew word angel simply means messenger. The context actually determines whether they are human messengers, such as the spies that went to spy out the land, or whether they are angelic messengers, or whether it's the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. And in this case, it definitely was the Old Testament ministry of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice, he's standing before the angel of the Lord. But who else is standing in verse 2? You know who it is? Satan himself. You know, whenever we're standing for the Lord, you know that the devil's going to be there as well. He's a roaring lion. He's called in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, the accuser of the brethren. And you can be sure today, listen now, you can be sure today that Satan has brought an accusation against you and an accusation against me today before the throne of God. Satan was probably telling the angel, the messenger of the Lord, "How can you use this man? He's a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner." And we can see, notice, Satan is attacking this man and hates him. And isn't he the accuser of the nation Israel as well? He's an anti-Semite, the father of the movement. Praise the Lord that we have the intervention of the Lord. That's the third observation. We have the position of the high priest, the opposition from Satan, but now the intervention of the Lord. The Lord said unto Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee." Here, Jerusalem. You see, Joshua is actually representative in this passage of Jerusalem. Even as the high priest entered once a year into the Holy of Holies, representing his people, Joshua's condition represents Israel's condition. And Jerusalem, pictured by Joshua, is called a brand plucked out of the fire. Look at verse 2. "O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire?" God would have mercy on Jerusalem, and it would be a brand plucked out of the fire, not only in the rebuilding of the temple and Jerusalem in the days of Zerubbabel, but also in the days when he would establish his glorious kingdom during the millennium. There's a dual fulfillment, a brand plucked out of the fire. You know, John Wesley called himself a brand plucked out of the fire. And here, our Savior, the great high priest, appears before God in our behalf. In Sunday school, we're studying the epistle of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, it says this, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." And notice, the text goes on and it says, verse 3 of Zechariah 3, "Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." Isn't that wonderful what the Lord has done, not only for you as a believer, but others who come to Jesus Christ as Savior? Someday Israel will be holy unto the Lord as well. Notice what it says here, verse 5, "And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him in garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by." A couple of scriptures I want to just read to you to apply to us as believers from the book of Romans, and how the Lord has cleansed us through justification. Romans 3:21. Notice what it says. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all filthy, dressed in garments of filth." But it says this, verse 24, "being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Then reading Romans 8:31, as we go to prayer, let's rejoice in these scriptures that we are righteous and justified in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:31, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. When the old devil comes to accuse us, Jesus Christ is our advocate. It is God that justifies. And God has justified us through the merits of his Son. And we are holy and righteous in him. And this is why we can come before the throne of grace. It is paved through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we can have entrance into the presence of the Lord, because our Savior is our righteousness, and he's at the right hand of the Father. Verse 34, who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even as the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. And in Revelation 4 and verse 4, you recall the picture of the glorified church. And how are they dressed? In righteous white linen, the linen of justification. We're God's people, even when the world treats us like the off-scouring of the earth. We're God's people, even when Satan makes us feel like second-class citizens. We're God's people, even when we're down on ourselves. We are valuable to God because Christ is valuable to God. And he loves us, and he died to cleanse us from our sins. Zechariah 3, let's read verse 6 and 7, and let's look at the exhortation as a result of this to Joshua. The angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then shalt thou also judge my house, and shall keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. This is yet to be fulfilled with God's people. But the wonderful part about it, you look at that turban there, it says, a fair mitre upon his head. You know, in Exodus chapter 28, do you know what's written on that mitre in Exodus chapter 28? Do any of you know? Holiness unto the Lord. That's right. Look at Exodus 28 and verse 36. Thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave it upon it like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And that's what's on the mitre that they wear on their headpiece for the Lord Jesus Christ. A beautiful picture. You know, I think of that statement, my faith has found a resting place. It says, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Even upon the, in the millennium, it says that even the horses' bells will have holiness unto the Lord on them as well. Isn't it a beautiful thought? Eliza Hewitt wrote that wonderful song. How many of you know that little chorus? My faith has found a resting place. Let's sing just the first stanza together, okay? And let's sing this wonderful, wonderful hymn of the faith, the truth that we are righteous in Christ Jesus. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Amen. Next time somebody comes up to you and says that God's replaced Israel, you just remind them that Israel's salvation as a nation is yet future, but it's coming. That's for sure.